Okay, Bavasra Nun Amid Beis, and Schattenstein Gemara is 50b2.
Did you say
Bavasra? I'm sorry, Ksuvis. Sorry. Ksuvis, wrong share.
15 years ago.
No,
the Daf Yomi is, just finishing that.
Not finished. They're not finishing so fast.
What is it?
They're halfway through the Masechta.
Nun what?
Nun Amid Beis. Okay, Nun the second.
The class come along.
Okay, 1 second.
I can take that class.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to remember. We'll be finished. Though. It's all like little pieces of Gemara.
It's near the top of
okay.
The 8th or 7th eighth line.
Huh?
The top 7th
no,
or 8th
no,
line.
No, no, no. We're dead further than that.
Okay.
We're closer to the bottom of the page.
All right.
Okay, let's... No, we said, Rav Nachman said, go give back or I'll make you pay for it from your own pocket.
Right.
Okay. We'll start there right after that. Hi. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines in the bottom of the page of Nun Amid Beis. Again, this whole discussion of the Gemara is about if the girls can collect only from land, from metaltlin, you know, do they collect it when the father dies and so on. So the Gemara says like this, Ravami and Ravasi, Sover Lemezim and metaltlin. They were going to give the orphan girls from the movable property of the father. Not from the land, like other people said. So Rav Yaakov Aridi said to them, I don't understand. Milsad Rav Yechon v'Rish Lakish. Somebody that Rav Yechon v'Rish Lakish, who were the senior rabbis in Eretz Yisrael, Lo Yavda Be'uvda, didn't paskan like that. Asun Avdim Be'yuvi, you're going to take such action? Rav Yechon v'Rish Lakish said, girls don't get from the Taltalin, only from land. And you guys want to go against the elder rabbis of Eretz Yisrael and say that they do. You're wrong. You can't collect.
Question. Rabbi Lakish.
Rish Lakish.
He was a criminal one time in his younger days.
In his younger days, yeah. Then Chabad got him. He became religious and he became Rish Lakish.
He came out of the house.
Yeah, no, he didn't. The garage? No, he didn't come. Okay. Rabbi Lazar Saver Lemezim Metaltel. And then again, the Gemara tells another story. Rabbi Lazar was thinking, again, to give sustaining the girls from the movable property that the father left over. So Rabbi Shimon el Yochim said, listen, Rabbi, I know that what you're doing is not according to halacha. You push it up pity on the girls. You have mercy on the girls. Because really, you know that they don't get from metaltalin, from the movable land, right? Movable things. So you probably have pity on them, but it says not a good thing. Why? Shema yiru atalmidim. Maybe the students will see that this is what you did, that you collected for the girls from metaltalin, and v'yigba halacha l'deiris, and they establish halacha like that. You can't do that. He said, people are going to mistake you. I know you're not doing it because that's the halacha. You're doing it, you know, because you have pity on the girls. But people are going to think, see what you did, and they're going to say, well, the halacha is that you do collect from metaltalin. That's not true. That's not the halacha. Then the Gemara said like this. Ahod ha'asa l'kamid Rav Yosef. A certain orphan girl came before Rav Yosef, said, you know, they're not supporting me. She came to get support from her brothers, whatever. Amar le'u, so he said to him, to the heirs, to their brothers, whoever it is, give her the dates that are on the mats. Meaning like this. Mats are when they harvest dates from the palm trees. So you know they cut it off and things fall to the ground. So they get ruined. So they'll put mats under the palm trees that when the dates fall, it shouldn't get ruined. It shouldn't get dirty, whatever. So Rav Yosef said to the relatives, to the heirs, go give the girls the dates that are on the mat. Which again is metaltalin. It's movable. It's not the tree itself. It's already fell off the tree, so now it's metaltalin. And he said to the heirs, you better give the girl from the mats. Amalei Abaye said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Even if the girl would be a creditor, Ki hai gavna mi ave ilay mar, you would give him these metaltla, meaning like this. If a father owed somebody money, okay, and the father died. So the creditor has a right to collect from the estate. But he can only collect from the land of the estate. He cannot collect from the metaltel and from the movable items. Yeah? That's the halacha. So Abaye said to Rav Yosef, this girl is not better than a creditor. If it would be a creditor, would you give him from the dates and the mats? 100% not. Because it's metaltelin. So why are you giving the girls? The girl, it was one girl. Why are you giving the girl the dates from the mat? He said, if a creditor came to collect from the father, right? Would you have given him anything? It's not true. Why? Because there's a halacha, metaltelin of the orphans are not bound to the creditor, only the land. So why is this girl different? So he says like this, Amalei, you're right, you misunderstood what I said to them. Chazi lebudya kamina. I didn't mean the dates that actually fell on the mats. Because that is metaltelin. Metaltelin the girls don't get. I said, what I meant was, they misunderstood me, Rabbi Yosef says, the dates that would fall onto the mats, but right now it's still connected to the tree. Right? Fruits which are connected to the tree is not metaltelin, because if it's connected to the ground, there's a din of the ground. Right? So, Rav Yosef said, I didn't mean that the dates that actually fell on the mat. That the girl Taka wouldn't get. But what did I mean? The dates that will eventually fall on the mat. So Gemara said, but 1 minute. Sof. That's not true though. Because there's a din called Ha'emid Ligzes, whatever is ready to harvest, Kigaz's dummy is considered harvested. Okay? The din is in many aspects. Something which is fit is considered as if it was done already. If these dates are ready to fall onto the mats, then it's like they fell already. So it's still metaltelin. So why are you giving it to the girls? So he said, no, that's not what I meant. I mean, the tzricha ledikla kamina. I don't mean the dates that are ready to fall. I mean the dates that still need the tree. The dates that still need the tree are considered tree. And that's not metaltelin. That's land. Right? Because the dates that still need the tree, and they're on the tree, and they need the tree. So therefore, they have a din of karka, and therefore, that's what I meant to give. But in other words, Rav Yosef says, I never was of the opinion, that I was never of the opinion that metaltelin should be given to the girl. When I said the mats, the outcome of the Gemara is I meant the dates that still need the tree, the dates that still need the tree, which still at the din of the tree, so that's what you can give to the girls.
As soon as you cut it, it becomes metaltelin, no?
Yeah. No, no, no.
No?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but no. The girls get the land. Even
it's
though now you...
from the land.
Yeah, but when they're getting it, you're giving it to them as it's still connected to the tree.
They have to cut it.
I understand. But what you're giving them for support is those dates that still need the tree. So even though you cut them, they're metaltelin, it's like something connected to the ground, a tree, yeah? Connected to the ground is karka. Therefore, if I uproot the tree and give it to them, it's not karka anymore. It is, because when the obligation began, it's ground. It's connected to the ground.
Let me ask you a practical question.
Yeah?
You have a tree and there's dates that are ripe already, but they haven't fallen off the tree. And dates that maybe need another day or two to become ripe. How do you determine which ones were
there? The farmers would know, because they wouldn't harvest them yet.
Another question is...
They wouldn't harvest them until they're ready to be harvested. What?
Wouldn't these orphan girls starve to death by giving them land, not something ready to eat?
No, but they can invest it, they can...
They have to eat something, right?
I understand. They could sell it, they could, you know, whatever.
But they have to eat. They have to give
that
them
whole
food,
setup
right?
Is very strange, Bukhla.
They have to eat, right?
No, They need to lose weight. No, the women always need to lose weight, so they don't want to eat.
It must be somehow for their benefit. We'll find out.
It is for their benefit. They're getting supported from the estate. But you know how long they get supported from the estate?
Until they get married.
Or until they reach Begetis. Until they become 12 and a half. Once they're 12 and a half, the estate doesn't support them anymore. They're on their own.
There must be a lot of 12-year-old girls.
Because technically, the father didn't have to support a girl after 12 and a half. She's an adult. Yeah. Listen, if a father today, parents have a married son or daughter, yeah? It's nice and proper and good and to help support them, yeah? Can Beis Din make you feed them? Can Beis Din force you to support them? They can't. I don't have an obligation to support
them. Make,
also
can.
Not. No. You have a married kid?
Married children?
Secular law cannot force
children,
you. No, I'm talking about married kids.
No, married kids.
Okay? So it's the right thing to do, but Beis Din can't force you to do it, even if they're broke. They're starving. They have mamish nothing. They're homeless. Yeah? God forbid. A parent does, as a kid, they're homeless. Beis Din, the proper thing is it comes before any other tzedakah. But to say that Beis Din in court could force you to take them in and feed them, they can't.
So the Yerusha only goes to the boys?
Girls don't inherit in the place where there's boys. That's the halacha. So that's this whole Gemara. The whole Gemara is discussing that if there's inheritance, it's an estate, the boys get the estate, and the girls, based on the ksuba, which we'll soon see in the Gemara, the obligations of the ksuba, the girls get supported from the estate until they get married, until they reach 12 and a half. But the estate belongs to the sons, not the daughters. Now, we'll see later in the Gemara, there's a case. If there's no sons, there's only daughters, so what they get, Yerusha, they get Yerusha.
So, Mashiach's here, right? So, it's Mashiach's here, right? So, why don't they go by that today?
Because you didn't accept him yet. That's the problem.
Not me, that's the problem.
The garage.
It's not me,
the okay. Ho Yasim, okay, then the Gemara says like this. Ho Yasim v'yaseim v'dasa l'kamid l'rab. A certain orphan boy, an orphan girl came before Rava. Okay? Now, what happened over here is like this. The Rashi explains it. A father died, left over two young kids. Now, when there's two young kids, they can't manage the estate. Correct? So the Beis Din puts what's called apotropus. Apotropus is a guardian on the estate. They manage the estate, right? And the kids get, fed from the estate. So what happened? And obviously, the guardians didn't give the kids food. Didn't give them money. Amlu Rava, so Rava said, so now the question is like this. And this is the dilemma now. When a father leaves over an estate, yeah, the boys inherit the estate, right? And the girls get supported from the estate until marriage or begins. The problem over here is like this. There's a boy and a girl. So the girl halachically gets fed from the estate. But the boy seemingly doesn't. Because it's his estate. Right? So now the boy and girl came to Rava. And obviously, they were not getting food. So Rava said to the guardians, Halu liyasam bishvil yisayma. Because of the girl, give the boy extra money from his estate that the girl should also have what to eat. Okay? Rava ordered the guy to provide extra food to the boy that his sister could be sustained with him. Because the guardians are now in charge of the estate. Right? Okay. Amlo Rabbanu Rava, one second. But you, the Chachamim, said to Rava, how can you say such a thing? For mad who the ka'ama, you yourself said, mikarka b'lay mitautala, that the girl only gets fed from the real land, not from mitautalin. And here you're telling the guardians to give the boy extra food that she should get. So in other words, she's getting from mitautalin. But you yourself say your girl doesn't get mitautalin. Why are you telling them to give the boy extra that the girl should get it? And it said, Beimizena, whether it's for food, Bein Luxuva, whether it's for Luxuva, Bein Lepanasa, whether it's dowry, you yourself, Rava, said before in the Gemara, that girls don't get from metaltolin. So why over here are you telling the guardians to give the boy extra food that he should support his sister from metaltolin? You're contradicting yourself. He says like this. You know I'm giving the girl, the boy extra to give his sister? He says like this. If the boy needed a maidservant to take care of him, cook, do his laundry, whatever, yeah? Would the estate not give it to the boy? Of course it would. Right? He needs to live. He needs somebody to cook and do his laundry, whatever it is. So he says his sister is going to be doing these things for him. So why is the sister less important to the boy than a maidservant? Just like you would pay a maidservant to take care of the boy. So what I'm giving her food is really payment for her helping her brother. So I'm not giving her sustenance from the metaltolin. She's getting paid because she's going to be helping the brother live.
Maybe it's a really young
girl. That's not always the case. What if they're living? What if they can't stand each other?
Which one? No, that never happens. There's no singer's family feud.
Of course not.
Not in the Jewish world.
Assuming maybe in the old boy, days, the sister and the brother get along.
Maybe in the old days.
Obviously, the Gemara says they came along because they came together to Rava.
They came together.
They got along together.
Yeah, sometime once in a while.
In separate houses, but they came together.
No. She's still helping him despite that she can't stand his guts.
She wants to eat.
In other words, he says like this: this girl, because she's his sister, should have more rights than a maidservant. More.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so he says, that's why I told him, they should give him extra money to sustain his sister, because she's doing household chores also. So, but I'm not contradicting myself. If the boy would be an adult, and there would be girls, yeah, the girls wouldn't get sustenance from metaltolin, from movable items, only from land.
So what is the chiddush of this one? You already know this, right?
Huh?
You already know this.
The what?
And we don't give it from metaltolin.
So they asked Rava, why did you give the girl metaltolin?
He gave her metaltolin.
So the Gemara said, you yourself says no. Why over here did you give her? So he said, because she's not worse than a maidservant. If the kids are under age, he needs a maidservant. So why is the girl less than a maidservant? If anything, she's better than a maidservant.
So there is an exception.
There's the exception to the rule. But generally, Rava says, yeah, I agree that she doesn't get from metaltolin, she only gets from karka. Okay.
But she wasn't getting this as inheritance, she was getting this as salary.
Yeah, but I'm saying, the Gemara says it's salary plus. Because she does need to be supported. The question is, you give him metaltolin, but she's better than a maidservant. She needs to be supported. It's not only a salary. But normally the support doesn't come from metaltolin. So here it's enough of a reason to give her even from metaltolin. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Tanu Rabban Rabbanan Lit. So far in the Gemara we had 10 opinions in each direction, whether the girl can get from metaltolin or not. Some of the opinions said yes, some of the opinions said not, right? All the Gemara's until now. Okay. So now the Gemara says like this. Tanu Rabban Rabbanan Lit. Echad Nechasim Sheyesh Lam Achrayis, what's real property, meaning land. Or Echad Nechasim Shein Lam Achrayis, or movable land. Okay, that's called Achrayis and not Achrayis. Meitzian Lamazen Ishev Labanis. The heirs. We collect for the girls, the wife and the daughters, from the heirs to sustain the wife and the daughter. Whether it's land, that's what the Braisa says. This opinion says that when there's whether it's land or movable items, yeah, Bezdin takes out of the children, the heirs, the boys, to support the wife and the daughters. Okay? Divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says clearly in this Braisa, whether it's movable or land, girls and the women get supported from both. Movable and land. Okay? Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Reb Shimon ben Elazar says no. Nechosim sheyesh lam achrayis land, meitzi and lebanis min abanim. Then you take out money from the boys for the girls. Lebanis min abanis. From older daughters for younger daughters. What's that case? Father died, okay? There were only girls. Right? So what do? You divide the estate between the girls. There's no firstborn over there, by the way. So let's say there's five girls. Yeah? So you divide the property five ways. Yep. What happens? The older girls took more. They're older. They took a bigger share of the land than the younger daughters. They bullied them. So the din is, if they did take more, you take away from them. Bezin takes away from the girls for the girls. Okay? V'labanim and abanim, or sons and sons. In other words, what happens if there are five sons, and the older boys took more property than the younger sons? So again, you take it out, right? U'labanim and abanis, or you would even take away from the daughters for inheritance of the sons if there's an abundant property. Meaning like this. What happens if there's an abundant property? The father left over a lot. Big estate. So then is, the boys get it. The girls get supported from the estate. What happens if it's very little money? The father left over very little money. Okay? Now, the older daughter sees the estate, okay, and the brothers, they were ripped off from the older girls. So then, you take away from the girls, give it back to the boys,
and the girls get it?
They grabbed it.
From the boys?
Yeah, well, from the boys.
Little boys.
The older girls and the boys younger.
Yeah. You know, older kids like to boss younger kids around?
Yeah.
Okay, so they went and they took more land, or more metaltolin, whatever. No, he was talking about land. Okay? So he says, you take it out. That's land. Then he says, Nechasim she'en lamachayis. Okay? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, if it's nechasim that are movable, then what's the din? Meitziyim labanim in abanim. You take inheritance from sons for sons. Meaning one kid took more than the other boy. You take it back. Labanis min abanis, girls from girls. If one girl took more, you take it back. Labanim in abanis, sons from the daughters. If the daughters took more of the estate, when it really belongs to the boys, you take it away. But, le labanis min abanim. But you don't take away from metaltolin for the girls from the boys. Okay, it's a lice Megillah. Bottom line of this braisa is, Rebbe says, girls collect from metaltolin. Girls collect from the metaltolin, that's what he said. Whether it's real property or movable property, the girls get the support from it. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, no, that's only by land. By movable items, girls don't get supported from movable land. Okay? So these two opinions that we had, the 30 opinions, whatever, is really an argument between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar.
Should we say
that? One second. So let me just say. So then the Gemara comments on this braisa. Af al gav the kaimalon alochi kerabbi mechaverei. There's a rule in Mishnah like this. Whenever Rabbi argues against the chachamim, plural, the alocha is not like Rabbi. That look is like the majority opinion. Whenever Rebbe in a Mishnah argues on one opinion, the rule is halacha k'Rebbe. The Gemara gives a ruling. Halacha k'Rebbe mi'chaveiroi avalei mi'chaveirov. If it's plural, then the halacha is not like Rebbe. If it's an individual, the halacha is like Rebbe. Who's arguing in this braisa? Rebbe with Reb Shimon ben Elazar. So the Gemara says, even though according to the rule, the general rule, that halacha should be like Rebbe, that girls do get from metaltalin, but hocha halacha kreb shimmin alazar. Here the halacha is not like Rebbe. It's like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, that girls don't get supported from metaltalin. Why? The rule should be like Rebbe. Because Amar Rava, because Rava ruled before in the Gemara, Hilchasa, the halacha is, Mimekarka v'lei mimetaltalin, girls only get from land, not from movable property, bein l'ksuva, bein l'mezeinu, whether it's for the ksuva, whether it's for sustenance, whether it's for dowry, girls don't get from metaltalin. And that's the final ruling of the Gemara.
Question. Why do girls only get from non-movable objects? What's the basis for this? I apologize if you've already covered that, but I'm trying to understand why they've ruled this way.
What's the logic?
What's the advantage of this?
It's not a question of advantage.
Well, what's the logic of it?
It didn't say a logic.
There was no logic to it. The Gemara said, I mean, there is a logic. Why?
What's the logic that boys inherit and girls don't?
No. But one second.
That's a similar type thing. But
girls marry into another tribe, and then that inheritance would go to another tribe. So the guys have it; it stays in the tribe. The thing is, with this case,
I mean, the movable versus the non-movable,
movable versus the land. I'm trying to figure out. Where's the
man? Well, you find an exact.
Like you get the property.
Yeah, but you find an exact. There's another. We just learned that. Remember, they said to him, "If the woman would be a balchev, you wouldn't." Abaye said to Rav Yosef, when Rav Yosef said, "Give him the metaltalin," Abaye said to understand, "If the girl would be a creditor, would you give her a tangible item?" No. Okay. In other words, like this. Why does a creditor only get from the land and not from the movable items? Because lien on property of a debt, quanta locha, is basically on land.
Okay. Not a movable object.
Not a movable. Because they come and go. You can't put a lien on something that comes and goes. So 1 second it's here, 1 second it's not here.
So
okay?
Girls can have a lien on something.
1 second. So therefore, a creditor, yeah? So from the father himself, there's a lien on everything of his. Because he's a slave by borrowing the money, owing the money, Eved Lova Leish Malva. The borrower is a slave to the lender. Okay? So therefore his entire being is connected. But the father died. The kids didn't borrow the money. The kids are not the creditors. Right? The only problem is, because there's a debt that the father had, and there's a lien on the properties. So because there's a lien on the property, the kids have to pay up the debt. Because there's a lien. But where's the lien on? Only on land. Because real estate is there. It's not going anywhere. It may change hands, but then they can go to the buyer and get it. Right? If there's a lien on the property. This din that girls get supported from the estate, basically, they don't have inheritance. They don't have a din of Yerusha, if there's sons.
Right.
Okay. So, what classification do they have to come get from the estate? They're creditors.
They're owed.
Who owes it to them? Not the father borrowed. The Torah gives them, the estate, the responsibility to pay them a debt. What's the debt? Their support. Sustenance. Food.
So what are we saying?
1 minute. So therefore, where it's the lien on? The lien should only be on the land.
So then how do they practically benefit from the land? It's sitting there. If they don't sell it, they can't benefit from it.
So they can sell it.
Well, in other words, the boys receive no real estate whatsoever from the Yerusha?
They get everything from the Yerusha.
So then what if the boys don't want to sell the land? So how do the girls benefit from it?
Because if the Torah says the boys need to support the girls.
Yeah.
And the estate has money.
Based on the value of the land?
Yeah.
So and even though they don't sell the land, but
right.
Based on the value of the land, they should be supported.
They have to be supported. So the boys have a choice. If they don't have come up with cash, then they have to sell part of the land.
So the girls are owed that.
Yeah.
So they could sell produce to get money and support them from that.
or give the girls the produce if they want.
Or give the girls the land.
Well, you have to understand something. If the boys want to give the girls, they can give whatever they want.
Right.
All these cases of the Gemara is the boys didn't want to give it to them. Uh-huh. So they came to Rava, Rav Yosef, all of these rabbis, and they said, hey man, the brother's not giving us money.
Right.
Or the heirs, whoever they are.
And the Beis Din would then.
So Beis Din said, give it to them. Give them from the mat or whatever it was. So the Gemara, so those opinions were asked. What do you mean? They could only get from land? So some opinions said, no, you don't get from land. Rava made the ruling. They don't get from land. That's the Rava Paskin. Ilchasa, they don't get from the land. They don't get from the movables. Right. Only get from the land.
Which is surprising, because if they marry someone from another tribe, the land would not go to them. Only the movable objects could go with them, but not land.
They would get the benefit of the land.
The benefit of the land.
You mean the produce that would
get. If they're from Yehuda and they marry some guy from Yisachar, so then Yisachar gets the land from Yehuda?
No.
I mean, they're
well, that was only the first time in Chumash with B'nai Salafchad.
Right.
But afterwards, intermarriage between tribes was allowed.
Right, correct. It was.
Because only the first time, then it would have gone back to the original.
Five daughters, they were in the same tribe.
Yeah, I hope right. so.
And so basically,
they married guys in the same tribe, that the land should stay within the tribe.
But that didn't perpetuate.
So what would happen?
No, that didn't apply, only for that generation. Because once the land was there,
it could have switched. It didn't,
because Yevil, the land goes back.
Yevil, okay, yeah.
So
even if that was it, in time of the Beis Hamikdash, yeah? If a guy from Yehuda sold land to somebody from Yisachar, like you said, yeah? Right? So did the land go now from Yehuda to Yisachar?
Yeah.
No.
Why?
Because when Yovel comes, it goes back to the original owner, which is Yehuda. The first time, if it went back to the original owner, there was no original owner, so then they would get it, the new tribe would get it. But afterwards, land was not sold permanently in Israel.
Maximum 50-year sale.
It's a 50-year lease. That's what it is.
You should do that.
Why? You have people. Why? 100-year lease? People lend. Look at Hong Kong.
Yeah.
What? Hong Kong was
99 years.
What about Cuba?
You may be too young, but when Howard Hughes had all those green buildings by the airport, those were 99-year leases.
And they came out.
Even the city. The city of Beverly Hills also leases land out.
Yeah.
For 99-year leases. But by Yerba, it was 50 years, whether you made the lease or not. It was automatic that it went back.
The canal,
that's how you evaluated the property.
Where? In Venice?
How many years?
Oh, the canal down South America joins the South.
Oh,
America.
Panama Canal. Panama. Yeah.
So girls always receive the Yerusha no matter what, but it's always.
No, girls don't.
And they
get their sustenance.
Yes, they receive the sustenance.
Until they're married at 12 and a half.
Married at 12 or 12?
Or 12 and a half.
So what's 12 and a half?
Whichever comes first.
Go make a living.
She's 12 and a half. How is she supposed to make a living? She's 12 and a half.
Mary Rich.
Is the Torah sexist? I'm just curious.
Doesn't go find a rich husband.
A 12-year-old boy?
And why does, let me ask a question, why does the Torah find, what's the reason for the Torah to kind of act in this manner towards the ladies? I just want to know because my daughter has brought this up to me also and...
Because the secular world system is all messed up, which means as follows. I don't want to go into this. This is more.
Maybe she does also talk to him.
That no, it's not controversial. There's a third perspective, which just because the world doesn't get it doesn't mean that that the Torah is wrong.
Right.
There's a value system. Okay, the head has a job. And the heart has a job. Correct? Each one functions in their own particular mission. Correct? Now, the head cannot start saying one day, you know what, I don't want to be a head, I want to start pumping blood. It's not going to work. The heart cannot say, you know, I'm sick of pumping blood 24/7, 180 years. I'm sick and tired. I want to start thinking. Okay? What's going to happen? It's going to get messed up. Right? Now, what's a more important function? The head or the heart? So reality is, you can't live without either of them. So obviously they're equally important. Correct? They're equally important. You can't live without the head, you can't live without the heart. So therefore, the function of the head and heart are equally important. Different, but equal. Okay? Torah gave a mission to men in life, and a mission to women. Each one has their mission. One mission is not in more, to use yeshiva, more better. It's not, it's all equal. Okay? Now, the Torah gave the role to the woman, first of all, biologically, men can't have babies. Okay. Women were given a mission in life. Okay? And their mission is not any less important than the men's mission. The men's mission, as the Torah says, when the Torah says about getting married, the men were told, be fruitful, multiply, and conquer the land. Who conquers? Who fights?
Men.
Okay? That doesn't mean women don't have an equally important mission. So the Torah says like this. Financial responsibilities, owning land, business, making a living, that's the man's function and role. What's the woman's function and role? Taking the raw goods, like Gemara says, the husband brings home wheat, raw wheat, okay, and the woman makes it into flour and food and clothing and everything else, right? So the Torah says, the money aspect of life, that is the men's domain. Therefore, inheritance they get. Now, obviously, the women need to live. So normally, a married woman is supported by the husband. An older girl goes out and supports herself if she doesn't get married. But if there's boys and girls, so when the girls are young, up to 12 and a half, or until they get married, when there's somebody else taking over their responsibility of feeding them. So the Torah says, why should the girls, it's not their role in life. Their role in life is not to have a career. Okay? So, just to finish it off, so to speak. What's more valuable in life? Now already people are waking up a little bit. But if you notice, those of you that are around in the 60s and the 70s, the early 70s, it was the career women. President of a massive corporation, president of the United States, prime minister of Israel, England, you know,
Pakistan.
Whatever. Whichever ones, yeah. Now, the world says that's an accomplishment. Yeah. Pardon my expression, but being barefoot pregnant in the kitchen, which was the thing
expression.
That the, huh?
That was the expression. The
expression
feminist.
Was pregnant women, pregnant barefoot in the kitchen. Wow, what type of accomplishment is that? Yeah? That's the secular approach. And Torah says, you know what? Raising normal, healthy children, morally, mentally, physically, emotionally, is more important than making another $1 million. Right? The world has to become populated. Whose job is it to educate the kids from the youngest of ages? Practically speaking, the mother is the one that does it. So who says that's any less important than a career woman? According to Torah, the primary role of a mother is to be a mother, not a career woman. If she can do both, great, but not at the expense of what her mission is. So therefore, when the Torah comes to the laws of inheritance, the Torah says very simple. What's the job of the men? To perpetuate business, to make a living, support the family, so they get the inheritance. The girls, yeah, the father died, the father not supporting him anymore, so the estate is the father, so the father still supports them. If there's no sons, meaning Hashem set it up for whatever reason it is, there's no sons, so why should somebody else get it? It should stay in the family. So the girls inherit. What's that's the logic.
Yeah, but here at the age of 12 and a half, she's out in the
because 12 and a half in those days, they were already married with five kids.
Wow.
Wasn't 12 and a half like today? Into the iPhones?
Iran, they used to get married very early.
They were much more mature
Iran,
in those days.
Yeah, 50, 80 years ago.
She didn't.
Whatever, but I'm saying, that's the logic.
What happens if the
sons so just because the secular world doesn't agree with it doesn't mean that Torah is wrong.
So if the sons didn't want to give the girls up, as we spoke before, so then the...
Then Bezin forces
them to.
Of course they did.
Stay in the girls.
Of course.
At least until they're...
Who's an obligation in the Ksuba? In fact, Umar is going to... The next mission will just start. That's even if... Not only that. Even if it doesn't say in the Ksuba, the guy left it out. It's still an obligation in the Ksuba. To give you an example, in today's ksubas, it doesn't say that the husband has to heal the wife if she's sick. It doesn't say that in the ksuba today. Take a translation, the ksuba doesn't say it. But there's a ksuba obligation for that, even if it doesn't say it. Yeah.
Unwritten constitution.
What?
Unwritten constitution.
Unwritten constitution. That's what the Mishnah says. Let's see the Mishnah. It was started. Like Kasuv La Ksuba. Whatever, the guy didn't write a Ksuba at all. Okay? The guy just didn't. Okay? So the din is, and then there's death or divorce, yeah? Psula gave him a Sayim. The virgin girl still gets 200 Zuz. Amana, the widow, gets 100. Mibnei Shutanai Bezin, it's a stipulation of the court. And therefore, it doesn't matter if it says it or not. It's automatically unwritten, but it's written. Even if it's unwritten, it's written. What happens? Kasuv la sada shavim mana tachas masayim zuz. What happens? A guy wrote to his virgin bride. She's supposed to get 200 zuz. He wrote it. This field that's worth 100 is for your ksuba. Yeah. And v'le kasen he didn't write kol nechasen diislech achren leksuba sech. Even if he didn't write, in other words, like this, the husband writes in the ksuba, this field that's worth 100, he's supposed to give it 200 if she's a psula, right? So he writes, this field that's worth 100 is bound to your ksuba. So even though he didn't write any other lands are bound, the din is, chayiv, he still has to give her 200 zuz. Why? Shutrai bezdin. It's a condition of the court. In other words, if the girl's a psula, he has to give it 200 zuz. It doesn't matter if he doesn't write anything, or he writes clearly, the field that's worth $100 is bound to your ksuba. It's worthless. Then he says, Lai kasid la, what happens again, the guy didn't write in the ksuba. Intish taboy, if you get captured, you know, kidnapped. Afrikina, I'm gonna redeem you. Vaisivin chloch into, or, and return you to me as my wife. Or kehenis, Adinech lemi denaseich, I will return you to your city. Chayiv, he's still obligated to redeem her. Shu tenai bezin, it's a condition of bezin. What it means like this. We learned before in the Gemara, if God forbid a girl was raped, she could still stay married to her husband. Unless if the husband's a kohen. Because then, if she lived with her, she was raped, so then, she now stay married to him. So he says, what happens if he didn't write in the ksuba? Normally you write in the ksuba. It was supposed to be written like this. In case you get kidnapped, I will redeem you and bring you back as my wife. Or if you're a kohen, I will bring you back to your country. Because he can't stay married to her. But you will bring her back. So it says, even if he didn't write that, it's in the ksuba. Therefore, nishpas, what happens if she was captured? Chayv levdeisa. He has an obligation to ransom her. Yeah? Even if it doesn't say that in the ksuba. Now, what is if he says like this? The guy, the wife is kidnapped. The guy doesn't want to ransom her. So he says, you know what? Here's your get. Here's your ksuba money. And go ransom yourself. Can't do it. Here's your get, here's your ksuba, v'tiftas atzma, and go redeem yourself. Yeah? Ein Rishu is not allowed to.
And if the ransom money is more than 200 zuz?
That's what I'm saying. That's why the guy wants to give her a get, pay her 200 zuz, because they're asking 500 zuz. So the guy says, I don't want to pay for 500 zuz. No, this Einar Shea, he's not allowed to do. He has to ransom her anyway.
He has to ransom her before he gives her.
What happens though?
No,
Loksa, if she gets an illness, but this is different. Chayav la pesa. He's obligated to heal her. Okay? What happens? Are they gituk subot trapes atzma? What happens though? She has very expensive medical bills. Let's see, medical bills are going to be 500 zuz.
Are we talking after divorce, right?
Before?
No. In middle of the wedding, they're married.
Yeah.
Yeah. 5 years later, Nebuch, the wife, gets very sick. He's going to cost him 500 zuz to heal her. He says, you know what? Here's your get. Here's the 200 zuz, and go heal yourself. That, the Mishnah says, Rishoy is allowed to.
Wow. He's allowed to?
Yeah. Ransom not. If he says, here's your get, here's your ksuba, go ransom yourself, he's not allowed to say that.
Maybe he hates her.
Well, no. But if it's healing, the Gemara says he's allowed to. What's the rationale? Okay? So he says like this. Medical care, okay, bottom line is medical care is part of sustenance. If it's part of sustenance, he could divorce his wife and not have to sustain her anymore. But ransom, he says like this interesting thing. Instead of the earnings, the husband supports her. Ransoming is getting her melug property, that the husband has a right to do melug property. Because he gets the constant income from it, he has to keep ransoming her.
What's a
melug property? This melug is property she brings in from her family's house.
She
keeps the land. It's her land, but the husband gets the fruit of the land.
So you know the benefit. Why is he obligated to ransom?
Huh?
Why again is he's obligated to ransom?
Because
life and death situation.
He never compensated for it. Sustenance.
Yeah.
She was compensated. The husband was compensated by her working for him. Cooking, baking.
Yeah.
Right? So therefore, because he benefited from the sustenance, yeah, he could say, okay, enough, Dayenu. I don't want to heal you, I don't want to sustain you. Here's your get. Ransom, he never benefited from so much because the properties were there. It's not that he got something of the properties. So he never gained anything from her. So therefore, the obligation of ransom stays.
Okay.